All right, so this is James Newberry, and I'm here with Ms. Jeannie Carter on January 29th, 2020, at her home on Lemon Street in Marietta, Georgia. And I want to thank you for agreeing to talk to me. Can you tell me your full name, Ms. Carter?
My full name is Jeannie Martin Carter.
And what's your birth date?
My birth date is October 26,
33. Where did you grow up?
I grew up around Cartersville in Cassville, Georgia, Bartow County.
What were your parents' names?
My parents' name was Jody and Mary Martin.
Is that J-O-D-Y?
Yeah.
What did they do for a living?
Just basic. I think my mother, she just did basic housework. And my daddy just did basic work that guys then did. He didn't have no special, you know, training and no special thing.
Did you have siblings?
Yes. Two sisters. Who both are deceased.
What was life like in Cartersville and in Cassville at that time?
Well, we lived out from the city itself. And so we actually went to school in Cassville, Georgia, which was Noble Hill Elementary School. And now it's used as a museum for a state museum. Wheeler Noble Hill Museum is the name of it now. So, at the elementary school. And we had to walk from the Kingston Highway all the way over to the Adairsville Highway because we couldn't ride school buses. So we walked, but we enjoyed the walk because we played the whole time going and coming back home.
Why couldn't you ride the school bus?
Because we were not allowed to because of our race. Because we could have been going to Cass Elementary and Cass High too. But at the end of... they were segregated, so we had to go all the way to Cartersville, just like all of the people in in Cobb County had to come to Lemon Street, and then all the people in Bartow County had to go to Summerhill High. So it's a situation like Marietta was.
What sort of subjects were you learning in school at that time, and how did you feel about your education? What was the quality of the education?
Well, we learned the basic courses, just like the courses that I taught, you know, that I saw anybody else. So and the only thing is we just had, as usual, we had secondhand stuff. And anyway, for us, that we had good teachers. Because we knew that they knew our parents, and we knew that our parents wanted us to learn. And so then we just, you know, we were better disciplined student than some of ours are now. And so we got everything that we could learn, you know, and but... we had basically the same books and stuff like that, but they were hand-me-downs, just like this. Hand-me-down, this, tables, desks, books, and anything like that.
Can you describe the school building that you went
to? Describe this what?
The school building. What did it look like? What were the rooms like?
We had three rooms. In this building, Prima then, we called the kindergarten was called Prima, And we had from primer to seventh grade in there. Half of it in one room, halfway in the other. And the other was the coat room and the lunch room all together. And so, anyway, it's still there. I went up there a few months ago, and the building itself, they have repaired it, but for the museum, you know. But it was up there, and we had to walk every day, rain, shine, sleet, snow. But it was fun.
Can you tell me who inspired you at that time? Who were your role models?
My basic role model, quite naturally, was my grandmother. My grandmother reared my sister and I. Mama passed when I was 3 and my sister was 5. And so, anyway, in education was my 5th, 6th, and 7th grade teacher, Miss Alva King. I think it's on there. And she just inspired me. She said, I just want you to be a teacher like me. I want you. You could make a good teacher. So those two are really the two that really inspired me to be a teacher. So when I finished, I was about a salutatorian of my class. So
that number 2?
Yeah, number 2. Huh? 1, 2, 4 from number 1.
Can you tell me, before we move on, your grandmother's name?
Mariah McClure.
And she was your mother's mother?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, tell me then, you may have already mentioned this, but where did you graduate from high school? What was the name?
Summerhill High School in Cartersville.
And you said that your teacher had inspired you. Did you want to be a teacher at that point?
I didn't know what I was. I sort of wanted to be a beautician. And my grandma would say, well, you can't be no beautician. All that smoke will give you tuberculosis. So anyway, and so my teacher, she loved teaching, and she just put me in with those students and said, you can be a teacher. So...
So then where did you go on to school from?
I went to Morris Brown College in Atlanta.
And tell me about your education there.
Well, it was fine because I stayed on campus and took a while to get adjusted because I'd never been anywhere away from grandmother. So, but I went and did just fine. I worked my way mostly to school in the cafeteria. And then, so after I finished Morris Brown, I came to Marietta.
What did you know about Marietta before then?
Well, I knew some things about it. Well, we competed in some things. That's where I met my husband at a basketball tournament in the 8th grade. And so we had, you know, been in a lot of church meetings and a lot of school meetings where we really knew each other, and we'd come down here to meetings and they'd go up there. But I knew in general about it, you know. And so, and that this is his hometown too, you know.
Well, go back. Tell me about meeting your husband in 8th grade. How did that happen?
It was at a basketball tournament, and hey, we just, you know, how you are, just socializing around and all. And so he met me there, and from 8th grade on, and we'd be there on our conference level. Playing, he was playing basketball, and I was playing basketball too. So we just got to meet each other playing ball, He didn't have a car, and I didn't have one either, so we didn't see each other every week.
How did you stay in contact?
Oh, in contact.
I mean, when you were in separate cities.
Here, you talking about in college, where?
All from 8th grade on up.
Oh, from here, he'd catch the bus, sometimes Greyhound bus from here. And when he got in the Marine Corps, he joined the Marine Corps after his freshman year. Then he'd catch the bus, you know, and come. And so we got engaged my freshman year. We got married my sophomore year in college.
What was his name?
Huh?
Tell me his name.
Kenneth.
Okay, and what appealed to you about him? What did you like about him?
Well, he was just a nice guy, nice to everybody. And, I mean, he did a lot of work in school and in church. We had a lot of things in common. We had a lot of things in common, you know. And That's it.
Was his family, his extended family, all here in Marietta?
No, they're deceased now.
Okay.
He had four brothers. His dad and mama lived here until they passed. The others lived in the West Coast.
Okay.
So
coming back to that first job in Marietta, talk about coming here and interviewing and how you got the job.
I was looking for a job really in the fourth grade because I did my student teaching in the fourth grade in Atlanta. And so I was putting out an application, and my husband was to put one out at home, and I put an application here, and he knew Professor Woods. Professor Woods was his high school principal when he went through. So anyway, they had some openings, and so he hired me and all, and so I had in the building, that first room that you go in to your right, that was my little classroom there. And so we didn't have any aides like we do now, huh? Nobody to assist us, son, with all those students and all. But anyway, I enjoyed it, although I wanted fourth grade because I had done student teaching. So anyway, I stayed there till I don't know the exact date, the year that the Johnny Walker home was built,
mm-hmm.
over across town there. It's Emily Lindbeck preschool now, I think, over on Wright Street.
Okay.
Well, they moved me as one of the teachers over there and moved Professor Woods over there too. So I taught over there until they integrated in 67. And then they sent me to Hickory Hills. And so that's the year that they sent. They sent one, no more than two teachers to the other schools from Lemon Street to the other schools the year they integrated.
What do you mean, one, no more than two?
Like, they sent me to Hickory Hills, me.
Only.
And then I know Park Street had two, you know, I knew who they were. They still around. And but at the different school, Park Street was one, Barbara Durr, Pine Forest was two, you know. So the better teachers as evaluated as better teachers was sent to the schools, integrated schools.
I see. So you're saying you were the only black teacher at Hickory Hills? And how was that?
It was good. It was good. Just so happened I had a principal, and his name was Mr. Carter. And it's, my little first grader, she said to me, honey, is Mr. Carter your husband? I said, uh-huh. Hey, they believed it. I had to go back and tell them no, no. But anyway, I didn't stay there but 1 year, and that was because I got a fellowship to Emory to get my master's degree. So then after I got my master's degree, I was transferred to the middle school because I got it in the middle school level. But
what middle school?
It was Park Street 1 year, and then they built the middle school on aviation over there, and I stayed on aviation there until I retired.
Did you work at all while you were getting your master's?
No.
Okay.
That was full year.
And let's return to Lemon Street. Can you remember about how many years you were there at Lemon Street Elementary?
That's 57, 60, 57, and I know I was at Rice Street at 64, so it's somewhere in between there. Maybe
5 or 6 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. What was your salary? Do you remember?
I don't know, but it wasn't the same because of color.
Okay. Do you have a sense of how much less you were making?
No.
How did you know that it wasn't the same?
I don't remember.
Was that something that bothered you at the time?
Yes, it bothered us to deal. Well, yeah. Because we knew that we were not getting the... We didn't know at first, you know, when you're hired and stuff like that. But we found out after we were hired, you know, that our salary was not the same as the others. So.
And what grade did you teach at the school on Wright Street?
I taught first grade until I got to the middle school. I taught first grade until 69, 70. Oh, it's 1 year. And that was when Mark was born, 60, 61. Mark was born in 60 years, 60, 61.
What kind of a teacher were you?
What kind of teacher am I? How? Well, you're talking about how I evaluate myself.
Yeah. Your relationship with the students, how you taught them.
Well, I really hate to evaluate myself. But I feel that I was an excellent teacher. I never did hear anything that, you know, we always hear some things that you can improve in. If you don't know your weakness, you can't get stronger. But I feel the students responded well, they learned well, and they loved us. I think my husband had influence on me and then me backwards, you know. But anyway, I think I did pretty well. Hey, and they must have thought it too to choose me one.
Right.
At the best school in the system then. So anyway, that's what told me too. That somebody else thinks you're pretty good, too.
Right. So, tell me about your husband and his job in the school system.
Well, Ken started teaching. Both of our jobs was at Lemon Street, our first jobs. He started teaching in the annex back up at where they've torn down up there, the sixth grade, not math, but physical education and health, I believe. And so he taught there until Wright Street. So I think after they sent me from Wright Street, you see, then they made Wright Street into a middle school. And then, see, the middle school teachers went there. So he was teaching seven and eight. And so after he taught there, they built the new middle school of World Aviation. But, and then he coached tennis 19 years and was PE consultant for the city for 19 years. And then, other than that, he taught middle school health and science and PE. They did a whole lot in the community. Like he was in charge of the rope jumpers.
What are the rope jumpers?
Huh?
What are the rope jumpers?
Kids jumping rope right. By music, you know. Okay. And they went to the Hawks game and went to New Jersey to PE Nation conventions and different places and participate with the rope jumpers, you know, and he just worked in Sunday school, worked as a trustee in the church, worked with a free church home program, you name it. He was a boxer in the military.
How long was he in the military?
3 years. And he came back and he finished at Lincoln University in Jefferson City, Missouri.
What church are you a member of?
What church?
What's it called?
Turner Chapel, AME.
So, I want to talk a little bit about, did you do anything beyond the classroom at the school, like extracurricular activities for students? Did you manage any of that?
At the school, no. I did it at the church. I ran a free tutorial program for kids about 30 years. It was free. Mm-hmm. We had teachers from different volunteer teachers from the system in Cobb County that came and helped on Tuesdays, Thursdays, 2 days a week. And we'd help the kids with their homework and stuff like that. Started over at that church and ended it up over here.
Okay.
But for as extra activities, no. Mm-mm.
So at, when you were teaching in those years just before the schools were integrated, was there a lot of talk at the time about pushing for integration? What did you hear of that? How was it happening where you were? What were people talking about?
It was not a lot of pushing within the schools, you know. Quite naturally, I always start from outside first. And that's it because far as the students going to the schools themselves, they loved 11th Street. And what it was is the things that was happening in the schools that they were not getting, you see. It probably was on the upper level more than the primary level, it was probably more that the kids were not getting some things, you know, that they thought they might or should have been getting. But far as being satisfied as being together and things like that, then, hey, most of the kids didn't even think about that, you know. You as a kid, if you never tell the kids that I'm black, they'll never know it. Most of the time, it comes from somewhere else. Son, about the color, little kids they'll play all day, all night, you know, and never know the color, you know. So, but anyway, because I was talking with one lady that you're gonna interview her. That's what I think she's calling and asking me something. But she was saying, they screamed when they didn't know nothing about it until I think they was the last day or something anyway. They told them about it, and all of them were just a screaming and a hollering and a crying, honey. They didn't want to leave Lemon Street. You see, as their school, you know.
Right.
But they knew that they would probably need more than they were getting in order to do what some of them wanted to do in life, you know.
Right.
Because it didn't matter with me, honey, that day. Those little bitty black kids learn just like those little bitty whites, and you expose them and teach it to them. It's got to be exposed to it in order to learn it, you know. But I just say, and that's what I like about first grade, honey. Hey, everybody was a child, honey. This one like that, bumping, hitting this, all this stuff. And didn't even think about it, honey. Didn't even think about it, honey. But it was no big issue in the school about the teachers themselves, you know, wanting to leave from there, from the kids wanting to leave there. It's just mostly what they wanted to be exposed to or get, you know, and I already know that it wouldn't be higher, because you see, they went right on over there to very, very high, 67, the one state champ. He went right over there and won a state champ.
Must have been a big deal at the time.
Yeah. Oh, they had some good team. My husband played quarterback. They said he was one of the best. There's no short sale. Yeah.
What were his high school years?
His high school year, he graduated in 52.
So right after they built the new elementary school.
Yeah, He graduated in 52. He graduated in 52 here, I graduated in 52 there at Cartersville.
Okay. So, do you remember how you got the news that you would be the one going to Hickory Hills?
I don't remember what the principal told me or the superintendent told me. I really don't remember how I got it. I don't remember.
Did you have any? What were your feelings when you got that news?
Well, I was not very excited. You know, that excited because I had been teaching in two different schools, you see, and that was just like going to another school, you know, and all. But for as feeling about doing the work, then I didn't have no fear about that. And dealing with the staff, I didn't, and a lot of them didn't. At first, I think some of them were kind of skeptical about what I could do at all. and this principal, Mr. Carter, honey, some of them because didn't want me to teach their kids. So anyway, he saw the problem, so he told him, if the kids come to that school, then they would come across me. He had me to teach all the math to the first graders, so you couldn't go there. But I'd taken that math in that first, so anyway, that settled it. I taught all the math to the first graders, and I forget that name, but she taught all the reading, the main courses, you know. And after the first year, and then those that were complaining said, "Oh, I never did think that she would introduce our kids to the integers." And give me the chance to do it.
Did she say that to you?
Huh?
Did she say that to you or to somebody else?
No, to somebody else. They told that. Well, you know, I had no idea she'd introduce my kid to the integers. You don't know what somebody can do until you give them a chance.
Yeah.
Wow. But anyway, it wasn't a big issue or nothing. After I was there, and the kids were doing fine, and then the adults made sure they were doing fine, you know, because no problem with the kids. No problem with kids.
So, when you think about the Lemon Street schools in particular, I know you didn't attend them. You taught at Lemon Street Elementary for 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
What impact do you think those schools and the sort of feeling about those schools it had on the community and the community that you see today? Why did they matter, the history of the Lemon Street schools?
Well, I didn't get you.
What impact do you think they've had on Marietta that you know today? How did they shape the community?
The building itself?
Well, the school.
The school?
Yeah.
Well, it gives, I think it gives them some background on going to higher ed, because what's going on now in most of the high schools are going on in the colleges, you know, now. And I think it's a background, a good background for that, you know. And still, I believe the same thing probably would be happening, maybe not as obvious today if it were not for integration. Yeah, it would. Because, you know, before they integrated down here, when we got teachers, quite naturally, you don't have enough teachers around in Marietta, black teachers, so you had to go out like they do now. Before they integrated her, all of our teachers had to live in the city of Marietta. You had, you couldn't teach it. Yeah. And this building right out here where the stop sign is,
mm-hmm.
a great big old white building there, is where all those teachers had to stay if you didn't have, well, we had a house, and so you had to stay in that one building, all the teachers from out of town. Had to stay in that building there.
Where is the building? What?
If you're going down this way, stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
And that building right there after you pass by the stop sign is great big white. It might be a flag still out there. But that's the building that all the, well, that had them but elementary and high school. All the teachers who came in to teach in Marietta who did not have a home to stay in had to stay in that one building.
Mm-hmm. That was all the teachers.
All the teachers.
Black and white.
No. Just all the teachers down here.
At Lemon Street.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think they had that rule?
I have no idea.
And how long did that last?
Until integration was over.
Oh, okay.
All of the teachers used to stay right in that one building.
Why do you think Lemon Street means so much to people still today? Why is it so important to people?
Because that's the only school they had. That's theirs. They feel ownership of it, you know, and just all. You had no choice of no other but just to go to this one, and then it's something dear to them, because it's something so dear to them. I'm not from Marietta. I may as well be a billion so long, but that's my first job there. You know, that's my first teaching job, and that's what I love was teaching and helping the kids. And then you see them, oh, you tell me Lemon Street. Oh yeah, Lemon Street. You know, it's just, you know, it's just something, you just like you get something you love that's so dear. And that's one of the things. That's the only thing that some of them can say. This is a part of it. It's Lemon Street. I did this. I did that. Yeah. And you know, Turner Chapel Church over here, you know that parking lot down below the church?
Yes.
That used to be Lemon Street football field. Yeah, that used to be, and they just sold that to Turner Chapel. Well, it was one of the years when I was on the board. So,
well, let's talk about that. You retired in 1991.
Retired from teaching. Right. Yeah.
So tell me about your run for the school board. Why did you want to do that?
Why did I want to do it? What's the name? It was two people that encouraged me to join. Let me see. Craddock. What's the name? Miss Houston. One of our home ec teachers, Houston. I forget her first name. Houston and Craddock. Anyway, one guy that was on the board and one of our home economic teachers, both white, encouraged me to be on that. So you'd be a good person on that, you know. So they encouraged me to go on in there. And so I finally decided to go on. So I ran two other times there. Two times. I was unopposed at one time. My granddad got 2/3 of the vote the time. Somebody else read. There's some remark there on it. On here. Somebody said something about my board. But anyway, I was asked, you know, would I run, you know, I'm the first black female to be elected as a position in the city of Marietta. And first black on the board of black female on the board.
Well, you talk about people encouraging you to run. What did you want to accomplish as a member of the board?
As a member of the board, one big thing I wanted to accomplish, the best, first of all, for our kids, all of them, I don't care, but the best for our kids, and that's building-wise, educational-wise, and everything. That's all I want for the best. Sometimes, according to this right here, this article right here, this guy made, he always making some kind of funny remark in the paper. But, I just always want to, whatever you do your best, you know. And then in education, the kids are what we're working for, you see. It should be. And so that's really what I wanted. Sometimes my quite natural head would be the only head for it, you know, for, I guess, and all. But I didn't want to accomplish anything myself. Because if you do what you're supposed to do, then it'll automatically come. The accomplishment will.
How long were you on the board?
16 years.
Okay, so about 93 to 2009?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so just, you've only been off of the board for the last 10 years.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned the football field where it used to be, and you said that that was something you dealt with on the board.
No, not necessarily I dealt with, no.
Okay.
No. Mm-mm.
Were there any big things that the school board had to deal with while you were on there? Any big votes that had to be dealt with?
Nothing like building the schools and stuff like that, you know. We built Sawyer Row, Marietta High School, mm-hmm. while I was on the board. I was board chair when we went into Marietta High. Those are two. Building Park Street now. There we go. It should be ready probably next school year. Park Street. I thought 1 year there.
Well, for these exhibits that are being done on Lemon Street, what do you want to see in those exhibits? What do you think's been missing before in other exhibits, other tributes to Lemon Street? What would you like to see?
Well, I don't know, but I know what I would not like to see. I would not like to see no one particular thing overemphasized. Just like if we let it happen, then it will happen. If we let sports happen, sports will be all over the thing, you see. And that's why I said the other day when we were coming out of the office out there and quite nice, and that's good about our guys winning, you know, this year and all this stuff like that. I was saying that I would like to see more of our A students or B accomplish this, accomplish that, you know, and all, because say probably about 1 out of 100 would make pro or go on to its max and all, right? But you go, we just don't emphasize other things as much as we do sport, and so we need to watch and just don't overdo one thing, but make sure as much as we can integrate a lot of the things that came about, you know, because a lot of people with whatever they were involved in were bringing in, like Zanny. When Zanny talked to the banquet, he talked about what he liked, his to the band and something else with one of the teachers, you see, like right. that. When you see, it should have been a broader thing about this thing. But you see, people are going to have a tendency to emphasize what they liked or what they're close to. Right. And I think this is for the whole school, so it should be, you know, emphasize educational wise, sports wise, this wise and that wise.
Covering everything.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And are there other people that you think we should speak to? Particular folks that would have a lot of information for us?
One you're speaking to I know, and that's Cheryl. She was probably from she was in that 67 class.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I had a great mm-hmm. phone conversation with her.
Jenny Gresham, Jenny Hill Gresham, Lois Dodd Phillip. And those two, they were teaching when I got here. And this is the guy, this guy over here, he probably teaching at the beginning. Right across here, go. But he's the one. He's the guy that said that.
Carl Gober.
Carl. Okay. Hey, he doesn't say nothing around here. He's right across the street from me. I knew he was gonna say that. His wife said, "I know he was not gonna say nothing." Now. But he taught long way. He might have been teaching when he was there.
He said he taught 2 years there.
Oh, yeah.
Or she said that he taught 2 years.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything.
Yeah. He'll come out there. He comes and he throws my paper out of the yard to the door every day.
Oh,
you
wow.
know, he does. And behind him.
Thank you so much.
He's so good.
Is there anything else you would like to share before we finish up?
Nothing, but I'm gonna. It's some more things that I have, and I'll just call you about them because it's one I think I have, and I'm gonna have to look at. I've been doing a lot of paperwork and stuff, you know, with the death of my husband, and he's military and this and I just it's just. Oh, a lot of way. But anyway, I know I got a paper, and you might want that, a paper where the board was selling. Let me see, what was that? Oh, no, that's when they were changing the school. The Lima Street School then, mm-hmm. you know, from there. And it's, hey, it looks about like this.
It's sort of old.
Yeah, but now you could, I don't know what to tell you or not. He might have a whole lot, Mr. Woods himself's son.
Okay.
He lives right up on top of the hill.
Okay, what's his name?
Oh, wait a minute. Tell you in a minute. He graduated with my husband. Alonzo Fonzo. Lorenzo. Lorenzo Woods.
So he's Marion Woods' son.
He's Professor M.J. Woods. Not Mary. That's his granddaddy.
Okay, so Marion.
I mean, that's his daddy.
Marion is his father.
Oh, Marion, yes.
MJ.
MJ, yeah,
well,
yeah.
Tell me about MJ. What kind of a man was he?
Very quiet, reserved, you know. he could get bad though. My son was a, he was my son's, my husband's, principal. My husband's quite active all the way up, you know, and he used to box. So anyway, he and a boy got to hitting around there. And so anyway, Mr. Woods had got after several times about it. And so anyway, the next time Mr. Woods took him into the gym, you know, and he got the boxing glove, Mr. Woods did. And so he gave one a piece, and they told him to get the boxing. They said, "You all tired?" See, "Yes, sir. Keep on boxing." Every time he said he tired, he kept on boxing. But he was a very conservative, always business-like type person, you know, and very nice, you know. Like I say, he was my principal twice over here and over at Wright Street.
Mm-hmm. And he was a, how did you feel about him as a boss?
He was good. He was good. Yeah, he was good. He just wasn't outgoing with his work. Now, he did what he's supposed to do, but you know, some of them talk very active and all. He's very conservative, you know. But it didn't mean that he did not, you know, do his work. He's active in the community, you know. He belonged to Zion, up here, Zion Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for talking to me, and we'll go ahead and conclude there.
Yeah, I'm going to...